All right. Thanks, Bob. Thank you, Jeannie. Thanks, Bob. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to be sharing tonight on the subject of prosperity. And this was really what God worked on my heart for this particular fellowship, because I believe it's a subject that really affects all Christians across the board. And really, there's so many things in God's Word on the subject. We can study it for weeks at a time and really never exhaust the subject. So I'm going to try and keep this down to about 12 to 15 minutes, and I trust that God will bless us all with some insight into His Word. So first of all, we're going to talk about prosperity, but more definitely we're going to talk about the subject of money. And so the fundamental question surrounding the subject of prosperity is, of course, should Christians be prosperous? It's certainly a question that presides around the Christian world today. But before we answer that question, let's get a couple of definitions. So first, I want to go into the Merriam-Webster's dictionary, which defines prosperity as the condition of being successful or thriving, especially economic well-being. Lerner's dictionary defines prosperity as the state of being successful by making a lot of money. That sounds like an American term for prosperity, if I've ever heard one. And, of course, the common sayings today are, of course, money makes the world go round, money talks, and, of course, if you're broke, money talks. It's just that when it talks to you, it says bye-bye. That was always my favorite saying when I was young and broke. However, without laugh tracks and live interacting here, I think I'm going to have to move on from my lighthearted jokes here. But for the purpose of this teaching, let's stick with the one general aspect of prosperity, money. So if we took a large sum of money and threw it at anyone, I would say that it would be safe to say that most of a person's problems would go away. I believe lack of money causes a number of problems, and we could certainly list those out very simply: anxiety, stress, sleeplessness, sometimes infighting with our own family members, division. Money certainly can cause all of these problems. In 1 Timothy 6:10, the Word of God says that the love of money is the root of all evil. That's often misquoted as being money is the root of all evil, but in fact it's the love of money that's the root of all evil. If we look at the effects of the lack of money, anxiety, stress, division, sleeplessness, and so forth, it's almost safe to say that the lack of money could be considered also the root of all evil. But we know that money is not the root of all evil. The love of money is the root of all evil. But for the sake of this discussion about money, we want to see what God's Word says about it. And 1 John chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So it's clear from John that God does not desire that we be broke and miserable. On the contrary, God desires that we be prosperous and healthy. This is a pretty stark statement in contrast to what many Christians believe, that we should be broke and downtrodden. But the beautiful thing is, and it's real easy to understand, is that when God prospers us, it glorifies Him. It brings attention to God's true nature and His love for His children. Now, there are certainly different levels of prosperity, and some may find comfort in the simple things in life, and I think we've all been here at this place, which is a roof over our heads, food on the table, clothes on our backs, bills paid on time. That's always a good one. And my favorite, a reliable car. That one, man, I'm telling you, if we have not all been plagued at one time or another with bad cars. But this would be what I think most people would consider as true prosperity, just the simple things in life. But in fact, God has given us more than this. And there's a nice little verse in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse 28, and the first part of this verse doesn't necessarily apply to all of us. It could apply to some, but we're just going to keep that out of this for the sake of this conversation. "Let him that stole steal no more." So if you were stealing, stop it. "But rather," and this part, this is the part that counts, "but rather let him work with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needs. This is a wonderful verse because it implies that not only will God supply enough for our own needs, but he will also supply enough that we may be able to give to others. That's a pretty amazing insight into that verse. But now that we've established just the basic idea that God wants us to be prosperous, and not just prosperous, but enough to be able to help each other out as well, how do we appropriate this promise? And this is really where it gets good. And I know that we're familiar with all these verses. A lot of people in this fellowship are familiar, but we're going to bring this together in the end and in a very interesting way. So in Proverbs chapter 3, in verse 9 and 10, we read, and this is, of course, how to appropriate the promise of prosperity. And it says, honor the Lord with the substance, with thy substance, and with the first fruits of thine increase. Very, very simple request on God's part, which he's basically saying, pay God first before anything else. Now, I learned this lesson the hard way because I've many times paid all my bills, and I'm like, oh, shoot, I forgot to pay my father. So I got $1.20 left, so I'm having this conversation with God. Well, God, I'm going to give you a buck. I got to keep the 20 cents, but here's the last dollar. And I'm sure we've all been in that position before. But really, in truth, you know, when we pay God first, it's just a miraculous thing, but all the other bills seem to get paid a lot easier. This is just my experience. I'm sure others have experienced the same. So the next question after the how to apply the principle of prosperity and putting God first and paying God out of the first fruits of our increase is how much? The big question is how much? And I want to take you to Deuteronomy chapter 16. And verse 7 says, every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord thy God, which he hath given thee. I love this principle because so often we look at giving as sometimes a stretch, you know, out of necessity or kind of begrudgingly. And God really doesn't want us to do this. He says, every man shall give according as he is able. And 2 Corinthians chapter 9 backs this up with even more information. 2 Corinthians chapter 9 says, but this I say, I'm not sure, beginning of verse 8, but this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. Now this verse almost sounds like a negative, but in fact it isn't, because what it is saying is that if we sow something, God will give something. It's a wonderful thing. So God meets us at every level of giving. He gives us the opportunity of sowing and reaping. It's a wonderful principle. He which sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposed in his heart, so let him give. Not grudgingly or out of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So, in the question of how much, we learn from Deuteronomy, it is as we are able to give from what God has given to us. God says it doesn't matter how much you give, sparingly or bountifully, we will reap what we sow, sparingly or bountifully. We don't do it like a chore, like some sort of a crazy business deal that we make with God, but with a cheerful heart. So what does this really mean, a cheerful heart? Well, if you look at the verse, every man according as he purposed in his heart, then you come to the realization that cheerful giving is equal to as you purpose in your heart. So this is a great, great verse. It ties back into Deuteronomy, give as you are able. Give as you are purposed in your heart. As God has blessed you, you will give that place from a cheerful standpoint. God loves a cheerful giving. God certainly doesn't need money. He could print it if he wanted to. But this is really a principle of understanding and having perspective of money. So, and here's the great thing. It gets even better. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. And in verse 10, now, Israel was struggling at this time, and God sent a prophet, Malachi, to kind of get them straightened out because they were really stealing from God. They were bringing the tithes in, but they were keeping some back. And so God said to them in verse 10, bring ye all the tithes and offering into the storehouse, that there be meat at my table. And prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I won't open you the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it. Verse 11, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes, and he, the devourer, shall not, and that shall not is absolutely not, destroy the fruits of your ground. Neither shall you your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field. Now let's put this all together, because it's a wonderful truth. In other words, we, as God's children, know that God wants us to prosper. Beloved, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health. Health and prosperity as we breathe, as our souls prosper. So we give God the first fruits of our increase. The very first thing we do when we get increase or we get paid is we give to God how much? As you are able, as God has purposed in your heart, as he has prospered you, you determine the amount. You purpose in your heart what that cheerful giving is. In exchange for this, the simple act of believing in action, God himself will rebuke the devil, the devourer, for your sakes. And your labor, all your hard work, will stand. And the fruit of your labor will be sweet and not bitter. It will not cast its fruit before the time. It's a wonderful verse. This is a rare promise, and I love this promise, which clearly sets out the will of God for our prosperity. It doesn't require a great act of faith, but it requires faith with the work. It is a promise that requires action. Faith is a verb, and a verb connotes action. Our faith in this promise is tied up in the simple act of putting God first in our finances. Prosperity is just a step in the journey. For some, it's something that we do every day, and others, it's something that we are on a journey. But God wants to remove the distraction of financial hardship and supply us with abundance in a way that can't be shaken even by the devil himself. When God's people prosper, when his children prosper, we are able to focus on more important things. Prosperity doesn't always come in the form of fat bank accounts, sometimes just plump ones, but it does come in our attitude and action towards God as a faithful provider. Thank you for allowing me to share. God bless you.